Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians. All while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, we're having... Again, so much fun in the morning. Yeah, we have a good time, and I'm totally coveting your dress, Dr. Umat.
Well, thank you, ma'am.
Adorable. Look at this.
Summertime.
Look how, yeah.
Okay, now we're talking about dresses.
Well, yes. I think we'll change the topic real quick here. Jerry's back.
This is
look at that cutie. Oh, my goodness.
Adorable. Wow.
His daughter. Look at that.
She hates it.
Oh, and she looks angelic.
They're in, well, you know, my family's in China, right?
Yeah.
Now. Mm-hmm. And my daughter is 12, and she's used to dressing like the other kids in her school.
Sure.
Big baggy sweatpants, a hoodie, you know, hood's pulled down, you can't see her face, and she's slouching around. and so her mom bought her this dress in China and said, We're going to go to the mall, to the squares. You have to dress up. And she said, everybody will laugh if I dress like that because it's a beautiful white gown.
Oh, it's so pretty.
So, you know, and a white bow on her wrist.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't realize in China, kids do not go to the mall in sweatpants and shirts. Neither do grown women.
Oh.
Nobody wears sweatpants or spandex or baggy stuff to the mall. When women leave the house, they have their hair and their makeup and they're wearing a dress and, you know, they're taking great pride in their appearance. And, you know, women want to look very feminine. And the children are dressed up in very pretty clothes or cosplay.
Oh.
They'll dress up like Japanese anime creatures.
Okay.
Or they put on nice clothes, but nobody would show up in public in sweatpants and a hoodie. It's
okay.
Just not done.
Wow.
All right. It's a cultural no-no.
Okay. And if you did, they'd know.
Yes.
Tourist.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
American.
That's right.
American tourist.
Ugly American.
Yeah. Yes.
So, yeah.
Oh.
And so... So, yes, it's...
they can smell us away.
Yes.
From a distance. Hey, there come the Americans.
That's right.
Wow.
So, yeah, so, but you were mentioning the dress. And
yes.
You do indeed have a very pretty...
That's so beautiful.
Very pretty, pretty dress.
She's embarrassing me now. Okay,
there
thank you.
Go.
But I just had to show off my daughter's dress,
yes,
too.
Yes, you did.
Yes.
Of course you did.
And I am slightly colorblind, and I got in the sun, and I was like, oh, no, the pants are navy, the top is black.
Just... Navy and black is always a combination.
Navy and black?
Uh-huh. Sure.
So I'm okay?
Sure, yes,
you're
okay.
Right.
You're
okay. Woof.
It's a good thing we're radio.
You always look great, Lynette.
I love you.
No. You see, a few weeks from now,
uh-huh.
Yes.
We're talking about these dresses and stuff.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone will be able to see it because
I know.
We will be
right.
Live streaming video as well as audio.
Oh, yes. And we
just
are in our new studio. So. I'm loving the new studio every week. Is that a real radio over there, Dr. Mixon, on your
It is.
Bookcase?
It's an antique radio.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know Lynette collects antique radios, so
yeah.
Put my name on the back of that. Wow.
Yeah. And that is... That moss wall is real moss.
It really is.
It really is. Yeah.
It's not plastic. It's real moss.
I was going to say, I touched it because I have to touch all the textures. And it felt real. So that's good.
It is real.
It is real.
Did somebody water it?
No.
Okay.
Because it's real moss, but then it was dried and dyed.
Okay.
Okay. So it doesn't have to be fed or nourished or anything, but it's real moss and it looks like it's bright greens, alives, and all
yes.
the shades and textures.
Yeah.
And so, yeah,
oh,
very pretty.
We've got lighting effects in here, a beautiful table for all of the doctors and the guests to sit at.
Yep.
And then my command center over here.
Yeah.
I'm liking that.
Your command center.
Oh, the command center.
Ooh. That's right.
Oh,
Lynette is in command.
That's
everyone
right.
Behave.
She is in command. That's right.
Yes, she has control of the microphones and the cameras.
Right.
Oh, well, believe it or not, you're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. Pretty soon you'll be listening and watching. So we're a bit excited here at the studio. Dr. Mixon back this week. Dr. Umat in the studio. I'm Lynette. Let me go ahead and give that phone, the phone number to call in. We've already got one call waiting, but we've got some things to discuss first.
Yeah, we do.
Here's the number, 1-800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770. And Dr. Mixon, you had a few things on your mind this morning.
Well, I wanted to talk about the fentanyl crisis, but I'm going to have to kind of digress to make most Americans understand what's really going on here. For instance, when I wanted to marry my wife, her father was a little concerned because I'm 30 years older than her. And, you know, Americans, Caucasians as a group, have a nasty reputation of getting Asian girls pregnant and then abandoning them. So they didn't quite trust me. So in order to prove that I was serious, I bought her a condo near her father.
Okay.
And I just put it in her name, so I'm not on the deed. And it's paid for in full so that her father knew that if we broke up, she had a paid-for home
place
to live
to.
In near her family.
Right.
Okay, and that made him feel secure, and so we went ahead and got married. Of course, when we got married, she changed her name to Mixon.
Okay.
So instead of Juan Bendin, she is now Bendin Juan Mixon.
Okay.
Okay. So her mother is now living in that condo.
Okay.
And so Bendin wants to change the name on the deed to Mixon.
Okay.
To her legal name.
Right.
Well, in China, this is a very difficult thing because China is a police state.
Mm.
They track you every minute of the day, every hour. You have to have a permit to move.
Mm.
The government has to give you permission to move from one city to another.
Mm. Really?
Yeah, you can't just pack up and say, I think I want to go to live in Chicago. No, you apply to the government and say, please, pretty please, can I move to Chicago?
Really? Okay.
And then they ask your questions. And why do you want to go to Chicago? What are you going to do there? And
I see.
Yeah. So she spent a week going from government agency to government agency, filling out documents and forms and being fingerprinted again, so to prove that she is who she is.
Right.
So,
okay.
So that she could change the family name on her deed.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. It's taken a week.
Wow.
And so she finally got it done.
That
part is good.
Oh, good. She got it done.
She finally got it done. But,
good.
But you have to realize, in China, it's incredibly safe. Because you are tracked.
All the time.
All the time. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the government knows where you are.
Mm.
Your cell phone is tracked.
Mm.
There are cameras on every street corner. When you enter the country, you have to take off your hat. If you're wearing a hat, and I always wear a hat, you have to take it off because they scan your face, and facial recognition now tracks you everywhere you go in China.
Mm-hmm.
You walk down this street, this block, that block. They know who you are and where you are.
Mm-hmm.
There's no crime because you can't commit a crime. Everybody knows where you are.
You'll be caught.
You will be caught, yes.
And the consequences thereafter are not good.
Are really bad.
Yes.
Yes. No, they do not have a lenient judicial system.
Yeah.
They shoot you in the head and then send your family a bill for the bullet.
You disappear.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So no, very little crime. And then so our daughter, my wife, was out with her college girlfriends, her roommates, and Ivory went along with them. And, you know, Ivory got tired, so she walked home at night in the middle of a city of 13 million people.
Wow.
And they could just let her go because she's perfectly safe.
Okay. And she felt confident.
And she felt confident. She knows where she lives, you know. Mm-hmm. She goes up. And besides, you know, Mandarin is her first language. My daughter learned Mandarin before she learned English. So,
right. Wow. Okay.
But in that environment, now I'm going to get to the fentanyl crisis. Okay. Mm. In a society in which every single person is tracked 24 hours a day, every job is approved by the government, every school course you take is approved by the government, okay? The kids start elementary school, and by the sixth grade, they will take a test. Mm. And these testing days, they take a test at the elementary school and high school and at university. These are so critical to the kids' futures. Mm. They route traffic three blocks around all the testing centers. No one is allowed by law to blow their horn or make noise. You cannot disturb the children because their life, their future life depends on this test.
Mm. Wow. Okay?
If you're in the bottom half of your elementary school, okay, when you graduate from the sixth grade, you now go to a vocational high school. You do not get a chance to go to a high school that will prepare you for college. So half the kids are weeded into a vocational school at the sixth grade. And then at the high school, you take another test. Mm. And only the top kids there are allowed to go to the universities, and the rest are relegated to mid-level jobs.
Mm. Okay. Wow. Okay.
So the control of the society is complete.
Now, they don't believe in late bloomers.
No, there are no late bloomers, which is a real mistake because they lose out on a lot of kids. Mm. They lose out on a lot of talent. I would not have made it. I'd be in a vocational school. Mm. Because, you know, when I was in school as a kid, my majors were surfing, skiing, and girls.
Okay, yeah.
In no particular order.
I was going to say.
Sometimes it was girls, and surfing.
Yeah.
Occasionally I threw in some skiing. No.
Depended on the day.
Yes, no.
Yes.
Had I been in China's educational system, I would not be where I am today.
And your radio show wouldn't have been as interesting.
No.
Dr. Mixon.
Yeah.
Carpentry. Electrical engineering.
That's right. No, not engineering.
Oh.
No. I might have been able to splice two wires together in a factory. That would have been.
Oh, boy.
You know? Yeah, no, that's a whole different thing.
Today he's splicing red and blue.
That's right.
Let's watch.
Yeah, no. So.
Wow.
Now, here's where all of this comes to the fentanyl.
Okay.
Every year in America, and here's what people don't understand. Do we have to take a break?
We will take a break. So you want to do a little cliffhanger tease?
A little cliffhanger tease?
Yes.
Shake some salt in your hand.
Okay.
2 grains of that salt is a lethal dose of fentanyl.
Wow. And we're getting more and more and more in the U.S. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. Stay right there. This is Leading Edge Medicine. Dr. Samira Umat here and Dr. Jerry Mixon in the studio. I'm Lynette. We'll be taking your calls in just a moment. Stay right there.
Song is, I don't listen to it by myself. I dance with my wife.
or just by himself in the studio while we watch. Yes.
I dance here too. It's true.
Yes, you do. Oh, welcome back.
You can bring your wife sometime, you know.
Yes. When we get our whole studio all, we'll
have
to
show some videos of her anyway.
Yes. Yeah. Leading Edge Medicine is what you're listening to. 1-800-465-8770. Before we dive into the phone calls, we're talking about fentanyl.
This stuff is so deadly. two little salt grains that you shake out of your salt shaker. Two of those grains is a lethal dose. We get enough fentanyl coming into the United States every year to kill every single American twice.
Wow.
Okay. Now, the reason we don't all die is because when people take the counterfeit pills and they're adulterated with fentanyl, they get 400 or 500 times the lethal dose in their pill.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, they drop dead.
Sad.
Here's the interesting thing. The raw materials are manufactured in China with the full knowledge of the Chinese government. This is not a mistake. In China, in a police state that is so tightly monitored as that, you cannot ship all of that fentanyl raw material to Mexico without the government knowing. It's a physical impossibility. Okay. So the government of China is shipping the raw materials to Mexico, where the drug cartels mix them together, press them into the pills, ship them to the United States.
Or just bring them across the border.
Well, that's how they're shipped.
Oh, okay.
They come right across our border.
Just walking across.
Yeah. You know, so the fascinating thing is we are effectively at war with China, because China is sending enough material to kill every American twice every year.
Wow.
Then Mexico is effectively controlled by the drug cartels.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You don't realize that when Mexicans have an election, there's not one assassination. There are dozens. Some years, 100 politicians will be executed by the drug cartels. You don't get elected in Mexico unless the drug cartels approve of you.
Wow.
They don't worry about voting against you. They just kill you.
Yeah.
So it's pretty straightforward. The reason all this came up is I watched the convention this week.
Okay.
And J.D. Vance gave his talk. And drug addiction is a real issue for Mr. Vance because his mother was a drug addict.
That's right, yes.
His father abandoned him in infancy. His mother was a drug addict and was not competent to care for him, so he was raised by his grandmother because his mom was too addicted and too dysfunctional to take care of him. So drug addiction is a big issue for Vance. And I heard him say, you know, if Mr. Trump and I are elected, we're going to designate the drug cartels as a terrorist organization, and we're going to use the military to take them out. Hmm. And first blush, I heard that, and I thought, yeah, go get them. And then I thought, wait a minute. We're talking about the affected government of Mexico.
Wow. Wow.
J.D., are you really planning to go to war with Mexico? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a terrible problem. We do need to fix it.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Part of it is we do need to close our border.
Yes.
And only let people across that we want to come across.
Exactly.
Legally.
Legally.
Yes.
And we know they're here.
It's like you are an immigrant. My wife is an immigrant.
My husband is an immigrant.
Your husband is an immigrant. I mean, we're all in favor of immigration.
Yes.
But... you know,
we all did it the legal and correct way.
We do it the legal way, and you know, you can't just have, you know, tons of illegal drugs. You can't have enough fentanyl to kill every American twice coming across the border every year.
No.
No, we've got to tighten that up. But I think, you know, basically going to war with Mexico is a little on the harsh side to get there.
Wow.
So, yes.
Yeah.
So I am very concerned about the fentanyl crisis, and you know, but it's not just Mexico; it's China too.
Sure.
We have to recognize China is our enemy,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I say that with great regret because my wife is Chinese.
Yes,
I have relatives in China. Mm-hmm. I have great respect for the hard work of the Chinese people. You know, but the reality is, while I love the people, the thugs that run the place are at war with us. It's a covert war. They're not shooting at us. They're poisoning us.
Mm. Yeah.
And we need to put a stop to that.
Yeah, I mean, the COVID vaccine came from there, too.
Mm-hmm.
The virus.
Yeah, Mr. Trump was right. It is the Chinese virus, the Wuhan virus. Mm-hmm. And it came almost certainly from the Wuhan viral laboratory. I don't think it was released on purpose because it's a terrible bioweapon. It only kills the really old, the really fat, and the really sick. If you're going to do a bioweapon, you want to kill the young, healthy military.
That's right, yeah.
So it was an oops because they were sloppy. Mm. But nevertheless, that's where it came from.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So. Oh, a lot to talk about today. Mm-hmm. Well, let's get some phones going with your questions for Dr. Mixon and Dr. Umat. 1-800-465-8770. We're going to start off with Joe in Chehalis. Good morning, Joe. Welcome to the show today.
Good morning, Joe. Hey, isn't there a TV show by that name? Morning Joe?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
have a cup of Joe.
Don't put me on par with that guy.
Oh, took me a second there. Yes.
Okay.
Oh boy.
How can we help you today, Joe?
Thank you, doctors. My question is: I was wondering your thoughts on red light therapy and whether or not the typical red light therapy they're promoting is the same as infrared saunas, as far as benefits go.
Well, they're certainly closely related.
Yeah.
Red wavelength lights penetrate very deeply into human tissues. And red, infrared, far red, is heat, warmth. And so red light therapies are basically putting mild heat energy into the deep tissues. And infrared saunas are the same thing. Infrared light is basically just picking up heat. So it has uses in that it dilates blood vessels, it improves the blood flow in the areas because it is providing warmth, and warmth relaxes muscles and the smooth muscle in the arteries relaxes, and so you get better blood supply. Mm-hmm. We use it as part of our hair restoration program. We use red light caps that will increase the blood flow in your scalp so that when we're putting in the PRP and the other nutrients and stuff, we are able to, to better prepare the scalp to get the hair to grow again.
And also, as part of the hydrafacials, they have a LED red light to help with collagen stimulation on the face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, it's got some uses. Like most things in medicine or in over-the-counter medicine, it's oversold. Mm-hmm. You get some legitimate benefits, but the people trying to make money out of it kind of hype it and tell you a whole lot of stuff above and beyond where the science may be.
Right.
But it's, that's just human nature. We're going to get that with pretty much everything, not just red light therapy.
Right. And the saunas, are beneficial for detoxification.
Yeah, sure. I've never been for the Swedish thing where you stay in the sauna and run out and leap in naked to a snowbank.
But
strikes me as a little self-abusive, but
I'm surprised he wouldn't be.
I know, right?
Wanting
sure
to do that.
Not.
Yeah.
I'm not into self-abuse. I really
Shock the system.
Oh,
therapy,
man,
is good for you. Didn't you know that, Jerry?
Yeah, I keep hearing that room.
It's not a rumor.
I keep hearing pleasure. Sabbatic pleasures is my way to go. I'm not into sudden pains.
Yeah.
Anyway, what else can we help you with, Jim?
I mean, the other thing people are talking about is cold shower. So after you're done with your hot shower, switch it cold so that you cause vasoconstriction, and supposed to be good for you.
Supposed to be. I don't do it.
No.
I'm noticing that they're touting different frequencies from 660 to 870 beyond. Can a person have too high of a frequency? And I'm kind of assuming that would be the infrared sauna.
The longer the wavelength, the deeper the penetration is really what it comes down to.
I see. So, okay. Well, that was basically my question. Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Sure. Simple physics question today. That was
Okay. All right. A great way to start the morning.
have a great day.
You too, sir.
All right. Thank you, Joe. The number to call in with your questions today, 1-800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770. Let's go ahead and take a quick break here, and then we will be back with more of your phone calls. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. We'll be back in just a moment. For the first time in history,
out of the tree of life, I just picked me a plum. You came along and everything started in to hum. Still, it's a real good bet. The best is yet to come.
Yeah. I can't sing that low. No. Wow. Good morning. It's Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samiri Umat. Taking your phone calls this morning, 1-800-465-8770. We have Carl on the line from Houston, Texas. Carl, how did you do with the Hurricane Beryl down there?
Well, fortunately, we were just one day without power here, but not very pleasant in Houston, Texas, believe me.
Yeah, well, hot and muggy, too,
I know.
Right now.
And up until last week, there were 1 million without power.
Yes, talking about that.
Yeah, I got friends in the Dallas area that are, you know, still suffering from the heat.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, how can we help you today,
We're talking about the fentanyl crisis.
Right.
And, you know, I believe the best I can understand, about 80% of the fentanyl comes through regular ports of entry. It's smuggled in vehicles because because the amounts are so tiny that are required to get people addicted. But we can't keep drugs out of prison. It has occurred to me that there may be hundreds of thousands of kids, like maybe starting at age 10 or 12, that are not aware that if they take one pill recreationally, that
they could die.
They can die immediately.
Yeah.
So it occurred to me that maybe it should be a requirement in all public schools that these kids, starting maybe at around age 10, take a quiz. And the question has to make them aware of that fact, that they can be killed by taking one pill. And if they don't get the answer right, they do not advance to the next grade. You give them a chance to take the test over and over and over again until they give the right answer, because they don't want to be humiliated by not advancing to the next grade. And this would not cost anything. So
let me give you a little bit different perspective on that, though. I say right now my wife and daughter are in China, and they went to the movie the other day. And in China, they do not have the previews of coming attractions, and they're not selling you the popcorn and the Coke and everything. They actually, for 15 minutes before the movie started, there was basically a warning movie about drugs, about drug abuse.
Wow.
And they made it very clear that, you know, you take the drugs, you die. And not just because the drugs might kill you. What they told these kids in the movie theaters while they're sitting and waiting to watch their film is, if we catch you with drugs, you will be arrested. You will go to prison. We will make sure you tell us who sold you the drugs, and we will execute you and the dealer. Mm. You'll both be shot.
Fear. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Terrorize.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
You know, they're willing to ship the stuff over to us, but in their own country, it's use it. We will arrest you. We will force you to tell us who sold it to you, and we're going to kill you and your dealer.
Wow.
Yeah, well, yeah, that'll have the impact on young, impressionable kids.
Yes,
and
it will.
All right, I ain't doing that.
My daughter came out of the movie theater and said, holy mackerel.
Right.
She was expecting a cartoon.
Yes.
You
know?
She got threatened with death.
Right. Yeah. Right, popcorn and sodas.
No. And actually, years ago in Iceland, when they were experiencing similar drug abuse and alcohol abuse in the youth, what they decided to do, instead of propaganda against it, they basically went out and built gyms, and they built recreational facilities so that the youth would be given free access to youthful exercise facilities, mm-hmm. and they were distracted them. So everybody was required to either do exercise, music, or dance, or some kind of recreational physical activity. And so the amount of drug abuse and alcohol abuse actually dropped precipitously because they were distracted. I mean, they were doing something different.
They had something. They weren't bored.
Yeah.
They had something to do.
So, you know, there's got to be a lot of approaches to this, you know, to do this. I don't know the right answer. I don't pretend to know the right answer. You know, I do know we need to find solutions, and we need to have discussions like you and I are having today, Joe. You know, we need to say, all right, what do we do? Let's come up with some ideas. You know, let's have a discussion and figure out some solutions as a nation.
The reason I came up with this idea was when I was in college, I was offered a pill, a recreational mm-hmm. drug. But I once sat next to a pharmaceutical representative who said, you know, they press these pills for the illegal market, and you have no idea how good a job they're doing. And for that reason, I said, no, I'm not taking that pill.
Yes, so you were wise.
I just think, as a matter of information, if you mm-hmm. require this in the public schools, you might end up saving a lot of kids' lives.
Yes, you might.
So you
might.
Obviously, it doesn't solve the whole problem, but
correct.
Marginally, it could help save
anything
a lot.
And everything we can do. Needs to be done, and we need to, you know, we need to look at it as a holistic issue.
I think the big issue is conversation with the children. Families just need to talk to their children. You know, mm-hmm. we don't sit down at the dining table anymore. We don't sit around at mealtimes anymore because everybody's rushing somewhere or doing something. And so I think we need to bring that family unit back together and have conversations with each other and with the children. Mm-hmm. So important.
Yes.
Yep, definitely. Drug education for school.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I heard you say you're going to be on television in a couple of weeks, and it just occurred to me we get a chance to see Lynette and Dr. UMAP, but I'm afraid in my case it would just be two more cases of unrequited love. So I just on the radio.
Oh, Carl!
It's not really going to be TV. It's going to be streamed on the internet. We will be on the radio still, but it will be simulcast streamed on the internet at the same time with the video and the cameras. Mm-hmm. We've put a fair bit of money into building out this studio, so it's getting close.
I think another
3 weeks or so we'll mm-hmm. be ready.
I love the show. Thank you.
All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you so much, Carl. Some great comments on that. Yeah. Talking about what you would like to talk about, your health. Dr. Mixon was bringing up the fentanyl crisis. And okay, so Dr. Mixon, I have a question about that.
Sure.
Fentanyl, it seems like just in the last few years we've been hearing about this, but how long has it been around?
You know, fentanyl's been around since the 1980s, I think.
Okay.
At least as a prescription drug.
Okay.
It used to be as a patch.
Okay.
And it came as a little patch you would put on the inside of your arm, and you would absorb it through your skin. And, you know, it had a little kind of a gel bubble.
Okay.
And it was for pain relief. And it did a very good job of pain relief. The problem is that the addicts would take the patch and cut open that little bubble. And inside that bubble was enough to kill you.
Mm. Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, well, Dr.
And what did UMAP you find, Dr. UMAP?
No, she just said first developed in 1959.
Oh, wow.
And introduced in the 60s, yeah.
Okay.
I used to use it, you know, as a patch in the 80s, but it says it was originally for an intravenous anesthetic.
Wow.
Must have been a really, really low dose.
Right. So they used it in ORs. for anesthesia.
Yeah.
Hey, back in the day.
Yeah.
And now, do you think it's been altered now,
Well, instead of
bigger
the very,
doses?
Very dilute, you know, solutions, you're now getting much more potent stuff.
With only one reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, money.
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 Yeah.
They don't care how many people they kill. They just want the money.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow. Lots of information on that. And we're seeing it and hearing about it a lot. And it's not something that you have to ingest to die from, right? You were just talking about that off mic earlier.
Like I said, we we used to use it just as a patch. It would go right through
right
your skin.
Right in your skin.
And with the new higher concentrations, yes, you can just pick up the pill and die.
Mm.
That's the frightening thing. We've had police officers and first responders who overdosed by just going into the room and coming into physical contact with a person who overdosed.
Wow.
Because they had the fentanyl on their clothes and their skin, and the contamination would go to the first responder, and they'd overdose. So this stuff is incredibly powerful.
Definitely a crisis. Wow. We are Leading Edge Medicine, and we're talking about fentanyl today. What would you like to talk about? We'd like to discuss your health, maybe your recent diagnosis, some symptoms that you've been having, your health as you are aging. This is Leading Edge Medicine, and here is the number to call, 800-465-8770. Phone lines are open just for you at 1-800-465-8770. All right, so Dr. Mixon, you've had plenty of time to read over the last couple of weeks because, of course, wife and daughter are in China. So what else is top of mind for us in the medical world?
You know, top of mind for me right now is family.
Yes.
They've been gone for a while. My daughter left for South Korea for a school trip.
Yes,
and
that's
right. She was in Korea for 2 weeks, and then my wife left on and picked her up on the 10th and took her to family in China. And she's actually there for two reasons. One, visiting family. The other is she's fencing. She's got a very, very aggressive fencing coach. And we've got her in what I think is the best fencing academy here. But that coach in China has made more progress with her in the last 9 days than she made in the last year here in Korea.
Wow.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, she is just, I get films, Bendy is sending me videos, and her lunge is just a fierce little thing. Wow, she's low to the ground. You can hardly see her come. It's just, bang, she's gone.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
Very cool.
And how many more days will she be in her,
I don't
her
know.
Camp? Okay.
They're
gone until...
They're gone until they come home.
Okay.
What I've told them is, stay as long as she is happy and making good progress. And if she gets too homesick, you come home.
Okay.
And she has to come home before school starts.
All right.
I miss them. I am lonely.
Oh, yes.
We talk a dozen times a day. I wake up in the morning. It's their evening. We chat while I'm shaving and stuff. And then, I get off work in the afternoon, and it's their evening, and we're chatting until they go to bed. And so, the modern technology is wonderful.
That is a good thing for it, yes.
Yeah. So I'm kind of, obsessing right now just with the cultural stuff. It's really kind of funny. When she went to Korea, she had never been to Korea before. That was her first trip. And she said, the streets are spotless, absolutely spotless.
Wow. Mm.
But there are no trash cans anywhere. And it's because everybody carries their own trash bag.
Mm.
Every woman has a trash bag in their purse. Every man has something in his pocket. And if you have a candy wrapper or something, you put it in your bag, you take it home, and you throw it away. The streets are spotless with no trash cans. China, on the other hand, has trash cans everywhere, and the streets are filthy.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Did not expect that.
No, I wasn't thinking of that. Oh. I was thinking of Disneyland. You go there, and it's like you couldn't, you know, if a piece of trash falls on the ground, you turn around, it's gone.
Yeah.
They come up out of the streets or something.
It's the fairy dust.
Yeah, I guess so.
Pixie dust.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So this is, you know, these transcultural things, you know.
Yeah.
My wife is a fiercely patriotic American. She loves her adopted country.
Mm-hmm.
She just adores America and her freedoms because she grew up under a police state. And so, you know, to be in America is wonderful for her. But China is home. The sounds, the smells, the culture, the people, you know, to be where everyone speaks your native language is just different. You know, I mean, Bandine speaks Sichuanese, Mandarin, a lot of Swedish, some Norwegian, and English.
Wow.
So she is a very bright, you know, polylingual
wow.
woman. But no matter where she goes or how many languages she learns or how many places she lives, China will always be home for her. Mm-hmm. It just is, you know. She's, like me, not happy with the government, but home is home.
Mm-hmm.
That's just all there is to it.
That's right.
It's like, Samira, you're from India.
Yeah.
You're in America. You clearly are prospering,
yeah.
having fun here.
Yeah.
But India's home.
You know, that changed for me when the parents die, when my dad died, it changed for me.
Ah.
Yeah. So this is home for me now.
So now it's
yeah.
just you okay. and Sunil and the kids.
Yeah. Well, mom is here, but she's with me. And
I
so
see.
My dynamics change when, you know, your roots don't take you back anymore.
Yes.
And so my roots are here now. My kids are here. My family is here. Everybody's here. I have extended family there, sure.
And Bandine's parents are both there and all of our aunts and uncles and cousins. And yeah.
Mm.
All right.
All right.
Well, sounds like the music's going to take us a break.
Yes.
Hey, why doesn't somebody call us with a medical question?
That's right, a medical question. We would love to talk with you. The phone lines are wide open right now. You're awake. You've had your coffee. Give us a call at 1-800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770. We'll be right back. That was a quick break.
I wanted to talk about our hair program.
Okay.
Revamping it. We're starting a new hair program.
Very good.
You know, there's a lot of research and science into hair restoration. So for people who are losing their hair, and a lot of us are, for men, a little bit different pattern of hair loss, and for women, a little bit different pattern of hair loss. But we recognize that. And we had a very successful program. But then we made some changes as science changed and technology changed. We learned new things.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are adapting that and adopting it into our new revamped program.
Yeah, in fact, I was just reading your papers you sent over to me on the Wharton jelly.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, for...
Right, good. I'm glad.
For follicle stimulation.
Correct. Mm.
Yep.
So,
I got here at 6 this morning to read them.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. See, every time I get something to read, I send it off to him and go, do the research. Can you please?
Yeah.
Please, pretty please. I have a difficult question. Can you please answer that? So he goes and dives into the science for us and then comes back with an intelligent answer and we all look good.
Yeah, I have a question for you, Dr. Umat. During COVID, that was one of the things.
Yes, it was.
That after people, you know, like months after COVID.
Right.
And I would hear it about women, but was that the same for men as
well?
Yes,
absolutely
okay.
It was. For women, you know, there are some, so what is the cause of hair loss, right? There's always a stressor, not always, there can be a stressor that precipitates the hair loss. And then the frequency is so much that people are overwhelmed with it and they don't know what to do about it. So our first job is to look for what is the cause. And we do that with the master aestheticians doing the first visit. and they're looking at microscopic pictures of the hair follicles. You see, what they're looking for is any cause of that we can manage, right? There's redness, there's swelling, there's infection, there's flakiness. We know we can treat that. And that treatment is a little bit different. If we find that there's a lot of bald patches, but the hair follicles are nice and thick, then we'll send you off for a consultation with somebody else who has to do some more deep looking. But if we find that the hair follicles are becoming thin, there's tons and tons of them, but they're just thinning out, then we know that you're not getting adequate blood supply, and we know we can help you with that. So if we don't know what's under the surface, we can't manage you, so we have to send you out. But if we know that on the surface there's a lot of micronizing hair follicles, they're just thinning out, they're not as robust, and that we can help you with. We know what to do, how to manage it. If there's redness, there's inflammation, there's flakiness, and I'm getting great results with that. And our treatment protocol basically uses topicals. We have finasteride, minoxidil, we have combinations with progesterone, and we have different things for men and different things for women. We have ketoconazole and salicylic acid shampoo. And so these are all prescriptions, but we will give them to you if you need them. So the first visit starts with an evaluation, an assessment, looking into the causes, thinking about thyroid, thinking about hormonal causes, and other reasons that you might be losing hair, nutritional deficiencies, which is very common. And then trying to manage the root cause, but also stimulating growth at the same time. So using topicals, but also using minoxidil with microneedling and PRP and exosomes for injections and microneedlings. And that is the root improvement. You know, we are providing nourishment and nutrition to the follicle right where it needs it. And you go home, you wear the cap, you improve blood flow. We've provided the growth factors, and that stimulates hair growth.
Both the PRP has 9 different growth factors in it, and then you've got the
exosomes.
The exosome from Wharton Jelly that has a whole different scaffolding
that supports
the growth of the new blood vessels.
Exactly. And the Wharton Jelly used to be so expensive, it was cost prohibitive, but now with the new exosomes, there are actually more prices are much better.
It used to be there were only a couple of people in the country that made it.
Yeah.
And now with competition, the prices are coming down, and some people can start to afford it.
Exactly. And so, you know, that's an add-on for anybody who wants it. It's only $300 to add it on, and you can do it with microneedlings or you can do it with injections. That's up to you, your choice. But the important thing is that the results, and I'm already starting to see good results with the injections that we've been doing. So we're very excited about relaunching our hair program. Some of the basics will stay the same, but we've added more to it. So if you're experiencing hair loss or we have treated you in the past and you want to do maintenance with us, come on back, because we have new things that we want to talk to you about.
Ah, that's good to know. And you can do that by giving us a phone call.
Yes.
That same number, 1-866-86-YOUNG, and tell them you want to talk about hair loss. They will get you to the right person.
That's right.
And we'll make that appointment to get you in and get you evaluated. That consultation is a free consultation?
It is, yeah.
Might as well find out if there's something that can be done for that. So
give
us a call at Longevity and Bella Medica, 866-86-YOUNG. All right, we've got some phone calls waiting for us. Let's first head to Stanwood, and Warren is on the line. Good morning, Warren. Thank you for holding.
Well, good morning. I wanted to talk about testosterone, but I'd first like to thank Dr. Mixon for that information about the fentanyl. Those stats are really terrifying as far as
what
it takes to kill people, and it's more infuriating why our borders open.
Yes, it is. Well, gosh, you know, the reason we don't all die from the darn stuff is because the drug cartels are not really very good in their mixing. Mm. And so when you take a pill and you overdose with your one pill, you may get 500 times the lethal dose. And so there's enough there to kill 500 people, but one person took it all.
Wow.
So, it's pretty awful. But anyway, how can we help you, sir?
Well,
we've talked in the past about testosterone, and then you've come up with the free testosterone number, and as I remember, something like 150 or so is an excellent number.
Yeah, it depends. It depends on which machines are doing the measurement. Laboratory testing is usually measured in a series of different units. But when we're measuring it in nanograms per deciliter, then, yes, 150 to 180 is kind of our target range for free testosterone. That's the range that is not for a man, by the way,
but
not
yes,
for a woman.
But I was what I was going to add is that we do personalize this based on what the patient needs and where he performs best function.
That's right.
And so these are guidelines, but they're not absolute numbers.
You know, generally what we have to do is we're treating the patient, not the laboratory. So we've got a target range. This is where we start. And so, you know, you may come in and you've got a free testosterone of 52, okay? And so we'll try to kick you up there to 150, 160, and then we see how you're doing. And, you know, we check your clinical parameters, and we're doing all the rest of your lab work. And then we say, okay, does this guy need a little less? Does he need a little more? Let's say that you're a hyper-emotional responder like I am, okay? Because there are men that I can put them on testosterone, and emotionally, they can't tell whether they're at 100 or 200. Once we get them above that floor of that old man level, anywhere in a more youthful range, they feel the same emotionally. I am very sensitive to mine. I can raise or lower it, and I can tell in a matter of hours where my levels are going to be. And, you know, so I can adjust it the way I want it to be on any given day. If I'm going to be down with grandkids and great-grandkids, I can let mine go low, and I'm soft, roly-poly, you know, grandpa that day. I've got my normal, everyday businessman sort of levels where I can do my business, and I can, you know, perform athletically and run and jump and leap and cavort and lift heavy weights, and that's a different position for me. And, you know, if I am in a position where I need to be the alpha male from hell, because there's negotiation going on and I want to win, I kick my level up and I walk in that room as the alpha male from hell, and I want them to smell the testosterone, roll over, expose their throat, and submit.
Dr. Umat, have you seen that, Dr. Mixon? Because I've not seen that one, and I also don't see the roly-poly. I don't think those are words that we use for.
So, you know, but that is a man I would never take home to my wife.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, but the nice thing about testosterone transdermal is the metabolic half-life of testosterone is about 75 minutes. So if I have a high level, I can go hop in a shower, wash it off with soap and water. In an hour and 15 minutes, 50% of it's out of my bloodstream.
Mm.
Okay, and so it'll come down very quickly. It takes about 2 hours to go up, but a little over an hour to come down if you wash it off. So I like the ability to change the dose depending on what the person needs. And let's say you're a guy who's carrying some extra weight, okay? And one of your major goals as our patient is we need to get some fat off your belly because it's bad for your brain, it's bad for your heart, it's bad for your joints. We don't want you sick. We don't want you diabetic. And so I may carry you a little higher than average. I may take you up to 200, 220 if I have to. Because then I've shifted your metabolism away from fat towards muscle. And that muscle burns calories even while you're sleeping. And so I may raise you a little high for a few months until we get your weight coming under control. Okay? So we have to vary it. On the other hand, let's say that you're a guy who we kick up your doses and now your libido is kicked up and you are craving sex. But your wife has had cancer or has had surgery or has some good reason in which she can't have intercourse. Well, we don't want to make her miserable, and we don't want you frustrated and horny all the time. So we're going to adjust your dose to put it where you as a couple need to have your levels. So there's a whole lot of stuff we have to kind of take into account. There is no magic number. There's an area where we start and then we adjust depending on what you as an individual really need. Does that answer your question a bit?
I'm curious. You talk about transdermal, so there you have a cream and you put it on your genitals or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do you, I guess, get a precise application so you don't overdose yourself?
Okay. I had a pharmacology professor way back in medical school, decades and decades and decades ago, who said, oops, well, I'll tell you about that when we get
we'll
back.
Find out what he said.
And I'll tell you, it has to do with microtomes and chainsaws.
Oh, okay. You don't want to miss that. Wow. Okay, Warren, you stay right there. We'll be back to talk about what's the right dosing and how do you know. Katie, we're going to take your call, and Vladimir will be talking with you, too. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine, and here's that number to call through and get into our call queue, 1-800-465-8770. We'll be right back.